When it comes to embracing refugees, Sweden is known to be among the friendliest countries in the European Union. This nation of less than 10 million people has been a popular destination for many Syrian refugees, even more so after the Swedish Migration Board announced in September 2013 that every Syrian who goes straight to Sweden can get a permanent residence permit. Over 20,000 Syrians have applied for refugee status in 2013, and the vast majority of them are expected to receive asylum. But for most Syrians, the problem is getting all the way to Sweden. Thousands have died trying to sneak into the EU, and their situation made headlines in October when a boat full of migrants sank and 366 refugees drowned in the Mediterranean Sea outside Italy. Now, for the first time in decades, several Swedish politicians are publicly demanding that refugees be given legal and safe possibilities to seek asylum in Sweden and other EU countries. Christopher Holmback and Julia Lundberg have more.
Kais Badro arrives at 10 each morning to one of the few shops in Ekshärad, a small village in the middle of Sweden. A Syrian refugee, Kais spends his days at a local Red Cross-supported shop to guide newcomers, mostly from Syria, in their asylum cases. He says that he's full of gratitude.
When I look these people here in Swedish, what they do for me, I forget everything what happened with me.
To come to Sweden and seek asylum, you need to put your life in the hands of strangers. You need thousands of dollars, and you need luck. Kais and his family first fled to Turkey and arrived there with very little to their name.
In Turkey, we have hard life. I have 4 children, and they no have paper, they no have nothing, they can't go to school. I can't find work because I no have ID card, I no have anything.
After 5 months in Turkey, Kais paid $15,000 for a false passport and a trip to Sweden. He could not afford to bring his family, so made the tough decision to leave them behind.
I think about the future, because we don't know when they finish this problem in Syria.
Kais was in constant fear when he was smuggled by strangers through Europe. Then, when he finally arrived in Ekshärad, he soon learned that the 3-year residence permit he got did not allow his family to reunite with him in Sweden. Sanna Westin is the chairman of FAR, a Swedish grassroots network of refugee support groups, and she says many Syrians, until recently, were faced with tough choices.
Very many Syrians got here, got a permit, and then realized, oh, my family can't come. I have my children in some misery in a camp somewhere, or still in the war. And what shall I do? Should I go home to the war again and lose this permit? It was a really awful situation for many Syrians.
So Westin was relieved last September when the Swedish Migration Board dropped the 3-year limit. Now every Syrian refugee that has made it to Sweden can receive a permanent residence permit, which under Swedish law enables Kais and other Syrians to legally bring their close family members to Sweden. This has made Sweden the only European country to adopt this policy, and reporters from around the world have been calling Westin to ask her about what they call Sweden's open door policy. She says that she refuses to answer their questions.
I mean, it's still forbidden to travel to Sweden to seek asylum. It's not an open door, it's a very closed door. There is only one way to get here, and this is by breaking the law in some way. You have to rely on human smugglers, which is very dangerous. You have to go by these horrible boat trips. This is criminalizing people. You have to make yourself a criminal just to get in here.
Most Syrians trying to reach the EU travel across the Mediterranean on hazardous, shabby and overcrowded boats. The price for the boat ride is about half of what Kais paid to fly into Europe with a false passport. But even if they're lucky enough to make it across the sea, they must avoid being fingerprinted in another EU country. Otherwise, Swedish migration and border authorities can send them back to where they were fingerprinted, and that country, not Sweden, will process their claim to refugee status. Swedish authorities have used this possibility to refuse over 1,500 asylum seekers from Syria during the last year.
The next station is Copenhagen Airport.
Meanwhile, legal citizens of the European Union cross borders daily without notice, we reached the Copenhagen airport in Denmark, a 30-minute train trip from Lund University in the south of Sweden, where Gregor Nall is a professor of international law. In a matter of hours, he will have crossed several borders. Nall points out the hypocrisy of a word that is often used to describe Swedish migration politics, generosity.
What Sweden does is essentially the same as the US or any industrialized state does that receives refugees, asylees. It protects the borders of its nation state. It maintains very high walls around the nation state, to speak metaphorically. And once people nonetheless manage to get over these walls and actually access our territories, we congratulate ourselves on our generosity. There's obviously something wrong in that line of thinking.
Still, he says that when 366 African refugees drowned at sea trying to reach Italy in October 2013, it not only drew worldwide media attention, but also prompted a serious political debate in Sweden.
There was a sense in media reporting that this is not just, this is not fair. It was so clear that people would be sacrificed at sea for the integrity of our borders.
Ultimately, this tragedy caused some Swedish politicians to think twice about the country's current refugee laws. Now, for the first time, several representatives within the established political parties are talking publicly about creating legal routes into the European Union, a move that would set a precedent in the region. But the question remains, will this debate lead to actual policy changes?
It would really need a state like Sweden saying, okay, now we're putting together our historical traditions connected with the name of Raoul Wallenberg. With this crisis, we're throwing our weight behind it. We are not playing the kind of diplomatic softball anymore. We are now taking a unilateral initiative. I think it would be needed.
But the two big parties in Sweden are staunch opponents to such reforms. And neither Gregor Nall nor Sanna Vestin think that Sweden or any other European government will create legal ways to enter and seek asylum in the EU in the near future. Back in the small shop in the village of Ekshärad, Kais Badro is helping a family to find some clothes and furniture. The family has recently received permanent residence permits in Sweden, and in a few hours they will move to their own place in a neighboring city.
They before they move, they come, they look if we can find something day before to move for a new apartment. And he say they need some lamp because that's apartment they don't have.
While the process for this family has been swift, Kais is still waiting for his permanent residence permit and for his family to then be able to travel here and reunite with him. The process takes months for some and years for others. Kais is frustrated, but happy that he will see his family eventually.
If I give Swedish all my life, I think that's not enough. Because they do everything good for us.
Still, he says, it would be better for Syrians if there were legal ways to come to Sweden.
And it will be easy for him. They don't need to pay this money, black money for people, and they don't need to be difficult for children or women. I think it will be better if they do something like that.
For Making Contact, I'm Christopher Holmback with Julia Lundberg, reporting from Sweden.